This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon all of the prophets and messengers commissioned to mankind. My dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to explore some chapters related to wudu and the virtues of wudu. Now, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book Riyadu al-Salihin, he entitled one of the books within this book Kitab al-Fada'il, the book of virtues. And last week we looked at the virtues of the Quran. We looked at the virtues of the Quran. And this week we're going to go through the fada'il of wudu, because that's the tartib, that's the order in which Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included them. So, babu fadl al-wudu, so the virtue of wudu. But inshallah ta'ala, what I want to add to that is what every Muslim must know about wudu. What every Muslim must know about wudu and its virtues. Now, the English word for wudu that you often read in English is ablution. Ablution. Now, wudu is one of the preconditions, one of the requirements for the validity and for the acceptance of salah. For the acceptance of your salah, for the acceptance of your prayer, there must be the presence of wudu or ablution. Now, in Islam, the ulama have divided tahara, or purification of the physical sense, into two categories. The first one is a minor purification, which is a taharatu suhra, a taharatu suhra, and the second being a major one, which is at-taharatu al-kubra. Now, the taharatu suhra, the tahara which is minor, that's in reference to wudu. And taharatul kubra, the major purification, that is in reference to the ritual bath known as ghusl, ghusl, that a person takes after marital intimacy or wet dreams, okay, and the like. So the question is, however, when we look at the order in which the ulama spoke about purification, they spoke about the minor one, which is wudu, before they spoke about the major one, which is ghusl. Now, what's the reason behind that? Now, the reason behind that is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about purification in the Quran, He spoke about wudu first. And also, when we look at wudu, wudu is something that is done more often than ghusl. A person may only need to perform ghusl once a week, but a person may need to perform wudu several times a day. Now, also, we find that wudu became part of the sharia, part of the rituals of Islam. It became part of the rituals during the Mecca period, so prior to the Hijrah, whereas the ghusl became mandatory in Medina. That's after or post Hijrah, post migration. Now, and the other thing, of course, why wudu is mentioned first is because when performing the sunnah act of ghusl, so when performing ghusl, ghusl actually requires of you to perform wudu. So it's no point talking about ghusl if you don't know how to perform your wudu. So this is some of the explanations that the ulama gave when talking about wudu and why wudu is first, given that it's a minor and that's not a major act of purification. Now, the legislation of wudu can be found in the Quran, in the Sunnah, And of course, there is consensus, there is ijma' amongst the ulama regarding wudu and its being sanctioned. Now, one very important verse that we read from the Quran regarding our ablution or wudu is from a surah or a chapter called Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is the fifth chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah. So when you want to read up about wudu, you find in the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, and more specifically, verse number 6. So ayah number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses believers. And He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who have believed, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ, that when you stand for prayer, or when you come to stand for prayer, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, wash your faces, your wajh is your face. So, وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, your aidi are your hands إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse mentions the marafiq, and the marafiq are your elbows. So, you see, in Arabic, the Arabic word for hand is yad. This is my yad. Okay? So from the fingertips to where my shoulder begins, this is my yad. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just said your yad, that could be interpreted in many different ways. But then he specified where he wants you to wash from, which point to which point. And he says, وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, to your elbows. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and wipe your heads. So it's not only about hair, because you may not have hair. It's wipe your heads. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, and wipe your heads. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and your feet, meaning wash your feet up to and including the ankles. So this is the minimum or the minimal requirement of washing when it comes to wudu and the minor purification. Now in the sunnah, we have a hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim and others. And it's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضى. That Allah does not accept the prayer of one of you who nullified his ablution or his wudu until he performs his wudu. So therefore it's a very clear hadith that your salah is not accepted, it's not counted, if you do not perform wudu, if you do not perform your wudu, your ablution. Now before we look at the kayfiyya or the manner of performing the complete wudu or the minimum requirements of wudu, let's talk about the virtues of wudu. What's the virtues? What's the reward? What's the merit in performing your wudu? Now, Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, as I said to you earlier, he enumerated a number of traditions, a number of hadith that are related to the virtues of wudu. Now the first hadith that he has mentioned is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that on the day of resurrection, that means on the day of judgment, my followers or my ummah, my people, will be called al-ghur al-muhajjaloon, from the traces of ablution, and whoever can increase the area of his radiance should do so. Now this hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. Now the word used by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a unique word. He said the word, and the word he uses, al-ghur. Ghur is the plural of aghar, which actually means shining or white. And it's used for animals like horses, for example, that have white marks on its face, right? So these marks distinguish those horses, okay, from other horses, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about this radiance that will be appearing from the faces of his followers on the day of judgment. And these are the traces. These traces that will be radiant because of the wudu, because of the wudu that they used to perform in this dunya. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said muhajjalun, and this comes from tahjil, which also means whiteness, but it's used for the whiteness which is to be found on all the four, or at least three legs of a horse. It's talking about the whiteness. So there is this whiteness that will distinguish the believers, those who prayed and those who performed wudu, from those who did not. The next hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included is the hadith also of Abu Hurairah that is found in Sahih Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that the adornment of the believer that is in Jannah, in paradise, will reach the places where the water of ablution reaches. So some ulama, they took from this hadith that one is permitted to perform their wudu when wiping or washing a certain area, that they can go beyond the minimal area. So for example, if I'm washing up to my elbows, this hadith is sort of inducing or recommending that we go a little bit beyond that, and that increases the area of whiteness on the Day of Judgment. And we'll talk about that in a moment. The next hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as we read from Sahih Muslim, is that he said, if anyone performs the ablution perfectly, in other words, according to the sunnah, his sins will come out from his body, even from under his nails. So not only is wudu rejuvenating, refreshing, but it also wipes away the sins of a person. It has this spiritual purification element to it, not only the physical purification. Now also another hadith that he included here that is found in Sahih Muslim, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu wa arda, narrated, I saw Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam perform ablution the way I have just done it, and said, he who performs ablution properly in this manner and proceeds towards the masjid to offer prayers, all his previous, now that's of course previous sins here is in reference to the minor sins, all his previous sins will be forgiven, and he is walking to the masjid, and his salat will earn him extra merit. So one day Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu wa arda, who is the third khalifa of the Muslims, Uthman ibn Affan, he actually taught the sahaba how to perform wudu. He was teaching wudu practically. And he said, whoever performs wudu in this manner or in this way, he said that that this will take away or wipe away the previous sins. So again, the cleansing nature of wudu, subhanAllah, is not only at the physical level, but also at the spiritual level in wiping away sins. Now, this next hadith is a bit more specific in the wiping of the sins. It's the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda that is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when a Muslim or a believer washes his face, and he's talking here about the wudu, every sin which he contemplated with his eyes will be washed away from his face along with water, or with the last drop of water. And when he washes his hands, every sin which is committed by his hands will be affected from his hands with the water, or with the last drop of water. And when he washes his feet, every sin towards which his feet have walked will be washed away with the water, or with the last drop of water. With the result of that, after ablution, he emerges cleansed of all his sins. So again, with every body part that you're washing, you wash your face, well, the sins committed by your face, that is by your eyes and looking at that which you shouldn't be looking at, those sins are washed away. Your hands, you did things with your hands that you shouldn't have been doing. Your sins committed by your hands will be washed away through the wudu. Likewise, your feet and where your feet took you to, places which are not allowed, which are haram, which are forbidden. Okay, then with the wudu, this is washing away the sins. So there's this, subhanAllah, constant purification that a Muslim is going through. Now, another hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he included here, he said, hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, that is found in Sahih Muslim, he reports that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, shall I not tell you something by which Allah blots out the sins and elevates the ranks in Jannah, that is? And the Sahaba, they said, yes, please tell us, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to them, performing the ablution thoroughly, performing the wudu properly, and walking with more paces to the masjid, and waiting for the next salat, after observing the salat, and he goes, and that is ar-ribat, and that is ar-ribat. Now here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he referred to doing all these acts as ribat. Now ribat is the act of watching the frontiers, or the battlefronts, to check the invasion of an enemy. So those who stand at the frontiers, guarding the frontiers from enemy attack or invasion, this is very, very meritorious. This is a very virtuous act. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is telling us that performing your wudu properly and walking to the masjid and waiting for each salah, you know, looking forward to each salah and waiting for each salah, by you doing these actions, this is a form of jihad. We go on to the next hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, he said, "At-tuhuru shatrul iman." That tuhur or purification is half of iman, is half of faith. So part of a Muslim's faith is that he is in a state of tahara, in a state of purification. Purification is half of faith. Now what does a person say after they perform their wudu? There is a hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if any one of you makes wudu carefully and then he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. Notice the wording, not just ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah, but he said, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. Whoever says that, he said, the eight gates of Jannah are open for him, and he may enter by whichever gates he desires to enter through. And then he mentions another narration here in Tirmidhi, which added, Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabina waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Oh Allah, make me from amongst those who turn to you in repentance and among those who purify themselves. And there is some khilaf, some difference of opinion amongst the ulama regarding this dua. So they're pretty much the hadiths that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included in this book, the Book of Virtues, and talking about the virtues of wudu. Now, let's move on to talk about how to perform the wudu properly. Now, with regards to wudu, there is a sifatu ijza, which the ulama speak about, and that is the minimum requirements that a person must fulfill in order for the wudu to be correct and sound, and because it has an impact on your salat and the soundness of your salat. So there is a minimum requirement, and then there is a sunnah requirement, or the complete way, the best way to perform wudu. Now, as for the minimum requirement of wudu, if you were in a rush, or if you had limited water supplies, and you just wanted to do the absolute minimum that's required of you when it comes to wudu, so your salat can be accepted. Well, the answer to this is found in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 6. Because Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 6, is outlining the minimum requirement of wudu. And that is to wash the face. Washing the face from where the hair grows, okay? So from above your forehead or your forehead, up to your chin, okay? And from this side of the ear, or from the beginning of the ear to the other side of the ear. That is your face. That is your wajh. So washing your face. Your hands, okay, up to and including the elbows. Now when you say wash your hands, not from the wrists, but washing from your fingertips up to and including, okay, your elbows. Wiping of the head. And when we talk about these actions, we're just talking about doing them at least once. We're not talking about doing them twice or three times. But ensuring that, for example, when you are washing your face, that there is no dry spot. That when you are washing your hands up to your elbows, that there are no dry spots. That when you wipe your head, that you wipe it just once, at the very least. That's the minimum requirement. And then washing your feet up to and including the ankles, which means ensuring that there are no dry spots, including between your toes. Okay? Then there is the complete way of performing the wudu. And the complete way, one of the best hadiths, the best prophetic traditions or traditions that we find in the books of hadith, is that of the narration of Uthman, or the hadith of Himran, Mawla Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu wa arda. Now here, this hadith will outline the wudu of Uthman, and Uthman is taking it from who? From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Uthman, one day he called for some water. Now, so therefore, when you are coming to teach somebody a sunnah, if it can be done in a practical manner, that is the best option. And that is the best way of teaching, when you can do so in a practical way, as opposed to just listing the actions, just in case the student misses something out. So he called for some water, and he poured water from the bowl into his hands, and he washed them 3 times. Now the reason why he didn't put his hands in the bowl of water is because you don't know where your hands have been. You don't know what sort of contaminants, what sort of germs your hands are carrying. So you don't go putting your hands into fresh water. Whenever you have an option and there's fresh water, don't put your hand in it. But this, what the right thing to do is to pour the water onto your hands, wash your hands, then you can start to take out from the water. He put his right hand inside the bowl of the water, and he rinsed his mouth. So then he started to take out scoops of water. So he took out a scoop of water with his right hand, and he rinsed his mouth, and he sniffed water up his nose and blew the water back out from his nose. Now the sunnah, what seems to be the correct opinion, is that when it comes to wudu and doing your mouth and nose, that they are to be done together. That they are to be done from the same scoop of water that is in your hand, your right hand. So you grab the water and then you put some in your mouth, rinse your mouth out, spit it out, or eject it, and then sniff what remains in your hands, sniff that water until it gets to the upper part of your nose. When it gets to the upper part of your nose, and then you blow it out with your left hand. That's the sunnah. So, and you can repeat this 3 times. So you grab some water, put some in your mouth, sniff it up and blow with your left hand. Because we know that the left hand is the hand that is used for the removal of impurities. Now when you come to put water in your mouth and you rinse it, this is known as madmadah. Madmada. Madmada is when you rinse your mouth out. The water being sniffed up your nose, the ulama term this as istinshaq. Istinshaq. So this is when you sniffing the water up your nostrils. And then blowing the water out, this is known as istinthar. As the ulama have called it, istinthar. When you blow the water out. After this, he washed his face. And he did so in this narration 3 times. He washed his hands up to and including the elbows 3 times. He wiped his head. Now, the sunnah for wiping your head is that you go back up to your nape, up to the neck. So if you've got long hair, the sunnah is not that you wash, that you wipe your hair all the way down your back. That's not the sunnah. The sunnah is to wipe your head, wiping your head up to the neck area, then to come back up like this. So it's a moving back, then moving forward motion with the 2 hands. That's the best way of wiping, and not just, you know, wiping with 1 hand and just wiping back without coming back to the front. Now that's only done once. The sunnah is not to do it 3 times. Washing each of the feet 3 times each, beginning with your right hand side and then going to the left hand side. Now, the Prophet Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu wa arda, in this narration, he said, "Whoever makes wudu like that of mine and prays 2 units with khushu', okay, will have his past sins forgiven." And this is known as sunnatul wudu, or praying 2 rak'at after wudu. You can pray 2 rak'at after the wudu. So this is the one of the hadith that have been mentioned. Now, when it comes to this business of istinshaq, we said was what? Was when you put the water up your nose. There is some difference of opinion amongst the ulama. Is that mustahab? Is it just merely sunnah and desirable? Or is it something that is wajib, that is fard, that is mandatory? Okay? Now, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, and others, I say it's mustahab, it's desirable. But on the other hand, we have the likes of the Hanbali school of thought, and the founder being Ahmad ibn Hanbal, and he said that wudu is not complete, that it's invalid without it. Okay, so his evidence is Allah says, "Faghsilu wujuhakum," wash your faces, and your nose is part of your face. Can you see where he's coming from? On the other hand, those that said it's mustahab, that it's only desirable, okay, they say that because when the Prophet ﷺ, he actually mentioned washing of the nose as being part of the Sunan al-Mursaleen, or the Sunan of al-Fitra, the 10 Sunan or the actions of Fitra, and he mentioned that and that it cannot be therefore wajib, and that seems to be the more correct opinion, that it's mustahab. That it's mustahab, that it's desirable to do that, but it's not not a mandate. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, when it comes to the wiping of the head, they agree that it's wajib. It's wajib. You have to wipe your head for your wudu to be accepted. But then the question is, and they agree that it's mustahab to wipe all of the head, right? It's mustahab. They also agree there. But where the khilaf exists is, do you wipe all of it, or is wiping part of it also sufficient? So if you only wipe part of your head, is your wudu accepted? That's where the ulama differ. Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa, al-Thawri, al-Awza'i, okay, they said that wiping a part of the head is sufficient. However, these madhabs differed also as to how much of the head. On the other hand, we have Ahmad and Imam Malik, that wiping of the whole head is wajib. You can't just wipe part of your head. So as you can see, we have difference of opinion. So what's going to be the safer opinion? To wipe all of your head. If you start to just wipe part of it, you've gone into a grey area. And the Prophet ﷺ, he wants us to keep away from grey areas. So it's always best to follow the sunnah and to wipe the entire head. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that there is not a single sound or sahih hadith which state that the Prophet ﷺ wiped a part of his head only. There's nothing to support that. So this is a mas'ala or yani regarding the wiping of the head. Now, as for the obligatory components or elements of wudu, you need to have the niyyah. You need to have the intention. And that is that when you're making wudu, that you're performing it as an act of worship to remove the state of impurity that you were in, this hadath that you were in. Because the ulama, some ulama said, if you make wudu with the intention that you're making that wudu for such and such a prayer, so you're only making wudu for Salatul Maghrib, for example, then that wudu is only valid for Salatul Maghrib or Salatul Asr, whatever your intention was. So what some scholars, they said, your intention should be to remove the state of minor impurity that you are in. So you remove the state of minor impurity. That's what your intention is. That now I want to be in a state of wudu. And that is the best opinion. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, when it comes to the niyyah, we have, for example, those who said it's compulsory to have a niyyah. We have Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, right? But on the other hand, we have, for example, the Hanafi school of thought, who state that it's not compulsory, okay, to have a niyyah. It's not compulsory to have a niyyah, okay? When you're going to perform it with wudu, with water, performing wudu with water. But if you are performing it with by way of tayammum or dry ablution, when the water is absent, then yes, you have to have the intention. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. We move on, inshallah ta'ala, to washing the face. And we mentioned that that's obligatory to wash from the top of the forehead to the bottom of the jaws and from one ear to the other ear. Washing the arms to the elbows is compulsory and includes the elbows, wiping of the head, and you can't just touch your head, okay? Or, you know, with wet fingers and just go like that, for example. There must be a wiping of the head. Washing the feet and the heels. Now, one day the Prophet ﷺ, he was on a journey when he saw his sahaba, when he saw his companions, making wudu. And when they got to their feet, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he shouted out and he said, "Waylun lil aqabi min an-nar." He said, "Woe to the heels." In other words, save them from the hellfire. So this hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. He's ensuring that people wash their feet properly. It's very, very important. The Shia, we have, for example, they just wipe their feet, and they just wipe their feet. They don't wash their feet. They just perform a wiping. But we know that sunnah is to wash your feet, that they're up to your ankles, or including your ankles. And if you went a little bit beyond, as some ulama, they said that there is no harm in doing this. Okay. Another very important point that we need to raise is that at-tartib, that when you're performing the wudu, you should perform wudu in order, not doing your feet first and then, you know, doing your face and then doing your head. There needs to be this order. Now, when it comes to at-tartib or the order, Hanbali school of thought and the Shafi'i school of thought, they speak about the order, but those who say that it doesn't have to be, that it can still be valid, the likes of Imam Abu Hanifa and the Maliki school of thought. And there's also a view from Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Now, So there needs to be the order, that's the safer opinion, okay? And beginning with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with. Now because we find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to observe order. And we see an example of this when it came, or when it comes to the performance of Hajj. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he finished his tawaf, he's circulating the Kaaba 7 times, you know, anti-clockwise. He finished and he went to perform his 2 rak'at or 2 units of prayer behind Maqam Ibrahim. And then he went where? He went to perform Sa'i. Now Sa'i is done between Safa and Marwa, which are the 2 mountains, right? So when he was going to perform this Sa'i, he's walking between the 2 mountains, he said, أَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. I'm going to commence with what Allah commenced with in the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. He said, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ. So he began with what Allah began with. So that's why we learn at-tartib is important and is more in sync and more in line with the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama also speak about al-muwalah. Al-muwalah means that there should not be a long time frame between the washing of one body part and the next. Okay? Al-muwalah. And those who said it's compulsory are the Hanbali school of thought, and there is an opinion for Imam al-Shafi'i regarding this, but on the other hand we have Abu Hanifa that said that it's not compulsory or obligatory or wajib for there to be muwalah, which means done so closely together. Now basically, the rule of thumb is this, that if you, for example, have washed one body part, you got up to your face, for example, and you come, okay, after your face to do your hands, and you've taken a break for whatever reason, you've had to answer the door, answer the phone, the water, you know, the water supply cut out. Right? They said that for as long as your face hasn't dried up, then you can go straight to your hands. But if your face dried up, in the meantime, they said go back to your face and go from there. Or even better, to start your wudu again. Okay? Because there's been too much time that's lapsed. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now let's talk about the sunan acts of wudu. The sunnah acts of wudu. So we've spoken about the obligatory components of wudu. Let's talk about some of the sunnah. Some of the sunnah include saying bismillah. Bismillah at the beginning of your wudu is not compulsory. It's not compulsory to say bismillah. There are some hadiths, however, the scholars of hadith, they said those narrations are weak, that they are da'if, that talk about saying the basmala or saying bismillah. But they also do agree that the different chains of the hadith strengthen each other to the extent that it no longer becomes weak, that it becomes hasan li ghayrihi, which is one of the terminologies of hadith. You know, sahih li ghayrihi, hasan li ghayrihi, da'if, okay, mawdu'. These are terminologies and classifications of hadith. Another sunnah is siwak. The siwak, which is brushing your teeth. It is sunnah to brush your teeth with every wudu. With every wudu, it is sunnah. It's recommended. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَى أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ وُضُوء. Would not that I have found it hard on my ummah, on my community, I would have ordered them to use a siwak or toothbrush with every ablution. And this hadith is found in the Muwatta Imam Malik. Washing your hands 3 times at the beginning. Okay, so actually washing your hands before you perform your wudu. That's not part of wudu. I mean, that's not, that's more from the sunnah. The sunnah is to wash your hands because those hands are going to be the instruments. They're going to be the instruments that you're going to use for your wudu. And you want to ensure that these instruments or these hands are pure. Sniffing up and blowing out of the water is sunnah. The sunnah is to really blow the water right up to the upper part of the nose, known as the khayshum. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَبَالِغْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا, that one should exaggerate or one should go to extremes when it comes to sniffing the water, what they call it, douching, sniffing the water to the upper part of the nose, except if you are fasting. If you are fasting, you are not allowed to sniff the water up your nose. That's the exception. Okay? So again, we spoke about al-istinshaq and sniffing the water up and blowing it out with the left hand. And this is as Ali radiallahu anhu wa arda, he once called for water and he did this. And he said this is how the Prophet ﷺ would purify himself. Now, there is another interesting hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when one of you wakes up from his sleep, he must blow off his nose three times. For the shaitan spends the night inside one's nostrils. That he said that one should use the water to cleanse the nose, because the shaitan, that is the resting place of the shaitan. Now, the ulama again have differed regarding the interpretation of this hadith and the resting place of the shaitan. Some said that this is the actual state is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or some said that maybe this is a figurative expression, because we all know that bad excretions that gather in the nose cause laziness or indolence or slackness or negligence, all of which are satanic actions. Okay. Now, if a person has, following the sunnah and having a beard, okay, having a lihya, okay, then running the fingers through the bead is a sunnah. Is a sunnah when it comes to or putting the water and then running the fingers through it, as per the hadith that we find in Ibn Majah and At-Tirmidhi, إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يخلل لحيته في الوضوء, that he would perform this تخليل, that running his fingers through his beard. Likewise, the sunnah is to run water through the fingers and through the toes, okay, and using your pinky finger, your little finger, to wash between the toes. That is also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as per the hadith found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, إِذَا تَوَضَّأْتَ فَخَلِّ الْأَصَابِعَ يَدَيْكَ وَرِجْلَيْكَ, that you perform this takhleel, washing between the asabi', the fingers of your hands and your toes. Repeating each washing three times is also sunnah, but there are different narrations that tell us that the Prophet ﷺ did so once or twice, which shows it's permissible to do things a minimum of once or to do things twice. But it's also the sunnah to do things three times, and that would be more complete. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And going beyond three times is against the sunnah. You've gone to extremes. Of course, beginning with the right hand side, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he always favored the right hand side over the left. Also, when it comes to, for example, washing your hands or washing your feet, to actually do what's known as ad-dalk. Ad-dalk is actually whereby you don't only run your hands or your arms underneath the water, but you actually use the left hand or the right hand in actually passing them over the part. And this is very, again, very healthy, very invigorating, and massaging those limbs as you're doing so. Now, the next one is regarding the ears. Now, the sunnah, as we read in Sunan Abi Dawood, is to wipe the interior with the index fingers and the exterior with the thumbs. Okay, this is the sunnah. And the sunnah is also to use the same water that you used for your head. So you grabbed water for your to wipe your head. And by the way, it's a wiping of the head and not a washing of the head, right? So that means that when you grab the water, you basically release the excess water. And with your head, with your hands being wet, you wipe your head, we said, to the back or to the front, and then you come straight to your ears. You don't take new water for your ears. The sunnah is not to take new water for your ears. Okay? And this is done once as well. Now, as for washing beyond the requirements, is it sunnah? Remember we said to wash beyond the certain areas. Now, there is some difference of opinion amongst the ulama, and the ulama have argued this, this point, and it seems to be as, يعني, the ulama have said, like, for example, Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, the majority of the scholars, they say it's mustahab. They say it's mustahab to go beyond. And that's the hadith about that we mentioned earlier about prolonging the light or the radiance by doing so through the wudu. Yet on the other hand, we have Malik, we have Imam Malik, we have Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, his student. Okay, we have Imam al-Sa'di of al-Shaykh, Ibn Baz, more recent scholars. They said it's not mustahab. It's not desired that, to do so. Okay, and they said that there needs to be evidence for this. There needs to be more support and evidence, because all of the descriptions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wudu. Okay, they mention, for example, marafiq. You know, they mention that, you know, the elbows, or they mention, you know, the ka'bain, the ankles, and they don't talk about going beyond that. So again, there is scholarly difference of opinion in this area. It's also very important to note the amount of water the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he used for wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he used approximately one mad. That was the type of measurements that they used. One mad. A mad in our terminology would be roughly some 600 grams of water, or four lots of two handfuls put together. So if you put your hands together, if you gathered your hands and you filled them with water four times, that's the amount of water the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used, okay, for his wudu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a hadith that spoke about whether is there extravagance in the use of water, and he said yes, even if you are at a flowing river. However, the ulama said that this hadith is da'if, it's weak. We also spoke about the supplication أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And that how if you say this dua, the eight gates of Jannah will be opened up for you. As for اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين, the ulama said this is a hadith muttarib, that there is nothing authentic regarding it. However, some scholars, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, says it's authentic. So that's something that we need to note. Now, some important notes, okay, just to conclude, inshallah ta'ala, when it comes to nail polish, okay, women who have nail polish, they should remove the nail polish, okay, before they perform their wudu. Otherwise, the ulama said the wudu is not accepted. And the reason why it's not accepted is because nail polish is a barrier. It's like, it's paint. Okay, so it's acting as a barrier to that which Allah Azza wa Jal obligated us to wash. He said, wash your hands. Your fingernails are part of your hands. Your fingernails are part of your hands. So the nail polish needs to come off. Some people, they rinse their mouth out before the wudu. Okay, that's not from the sunnah, but from the sunnah is to use the siwak. If a person is wearing a ring, they don't have to remove their ring. With the Prophet ﷺ, he had a ring that he used to seal documents with, and he had Muhammad Rasulullah, right? And there's no reports that he removed this ring. So, you know, if however you wanted to move it around to ensure the water goes underneath the ring, this can be something that is good, inshallah ta'ala. As for wiping of the neck, now, wiping of the neck is based on a weak hadith. There's no truth or no authentic sunnah for wiping the neck. Okay? There's no sunnah for wiping the neck when it comes to wudu. And as for wudu regarding males and females, well, it is exactly the same. The wudu of a male and female are exactly the same. There is no difference. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakumullahu khairan. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.